Each of us has certain favorite writings which continually surprise us with the freshness of their insight. One of my favorites is a small scroll in our Bible ascribed to the prophet Hosea. I find myself, whenever this season rolls around, browsing in it, pleased again, the depth and the subtlety of this man's mind as he probes human nature, human capacity. Now, the association Hosea, this repentance season, is not original with me. Long since the synagogue chose the last chapter of this book, the 14th, is the appropriate reading for Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of return which falls between the New Year's and Yom Kippur. For here is one of the classic statements in all literature of the basic themes of repentance and atonement. Shuvah Yisrael ad Adonai Elohecha ki chashalta bavonecha. Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquities. Take with thee words, and return unto the Lord, and say unto him, forgive all iniquity, and accept all that is good. Now, each of us has felt the surge of contrition and the upsurge of resolution, the need to return to God. Take with us words, to ask forgiveness, to ask God to accept again the good. These are, after all, the common emotions of mankind as he faces his life, himself, the motive power of this holy day. How confidently long since we began the business of life. There we stood on the threshold, certain that we would not fall prey, as did all those about us, to those sins by which men manipulate other men or abuse friendship or unbridle their tongue or speak less than the truth or compromise their honor. We were certain that for us life would be different. We would be disciplined. We would follow the light of our conscience. But the years have a way of leaning heavily on it. And we did fall short of the mark. We did lose our innocence. We did compromise some of our principles. At times we sinned deliberately, almost defiantly, as if to say, this is a cruel and strange world, now we'll at least get my share, make mine, while the getting and making is good. Sometimes we sinned almost carelessly. Hosea called such sinners silly doves without understanding. Sometimes we sinned hardly knowing that we had fallen short of grace, hardly aware that we had not met the mark. But whether we sinned with premeditation or almost without awareness, the result is that our lives had been swung askew, that instead of walking down the highway which we once foresaw from ourselves towards the fulfillment of our talents and the fulfillment of ourselves, we now walk down a byway, a side road, and all of us want to turn back, find again that simple, straight, clear path which we once foresaw. Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. Take with thee words, and return unto the Lord, and say unto him, forgive all iniquity, and accept all that is good. Now, there are times, for many of us, when the mood of contrition, the mood of Yom Kippur, rolls off our back. We go through this day of visits as we're another traditional exercise without much involvement of our spirit. These are the times when we have consciously walked aside, deliberately set our life off from the high road. We've decided to be down to earth or realistic. We are in a cynical mood or a pessimistic one. We fail to see why the highway must be followed. And when we are so deliberately defiant, Yom Kippur can have no meaning. And that is why I believe the prophet spoke of those who stumbled into iniquity, those who almost fell accidentally into their present habits. For when we are defiant, this day will do us no good. It will help us if we are among the many, the majority by far, who have tried to live the good life, who have sought to keep our way straight, but who somehow have been caught up in the swirl of the everyday, who have become confused, disoriented, and little by little have seen their lives turn aside, go down ways which they had not originally planned. Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. How do we stumble into sin? Our youngsters have an idiom which is very expressive. They speak of tuning out an elder, tuning out a parent, tuning out a teacher whom they do not wish to listen to. Their minds are preoccupied with the voices of their friends of their generation, with the voices of their own problems. They have no time to pay attention to other voices, different ones, insisting on different standards. And as it is with them, so it is with us. When we become preoccupied with the siren song of success, or fame, or ambition, or power, or beauty, or social acceptance, or whatever that song may be, we have no time for the older melodies, the traditional thou shalt and thou shalt nots, the basic standards which have guided mankind into civilization, lo, these many centuries. Hosea spoke of Judah as rad, wayward, and so it is with us. We have turned aside, we have followed other sirens, we have listened to other voices. Yom Kippur, Hosea asks us, O Son of Man, how much have these other voices brought you the salvation that you seek? Have they brought you true happiness and peace of mind? Have they brought you love and self-respect? Have they brought you all the goals which you once so confidently held? Have they been ways of heartache and anguish? Have they given you moments of exaltation only to toss you down the next moment into the valley of despond? Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God. Turn back. Come again to the way that you once set, the way that was in tune with those commandments and this tradition in this holy hour. Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. Take with you words. Why should I take words? It's not words that count, but the deeds. What have words to do with substantial meaning to atonement and repentance? And yet words are symbols, are they not? And they are symbols this night of the meaningfulness of this moment of confession or its irrelevance. Most of us walk through life happily aware only of our self-image. We look on this call to atonement and repentance as might a Boy Scout look for the good deed that we have to perform every day, some extemporaneous bit of generosity which it would be nice to do for another. That's not what Yom Kippur is all about. The challenge this night is to radical self-renewal, not to add another few dollars to your generosity, not to call up an aged parent whom you have not called for a while, not to offer an instinctive and impromptu invitation to a friend who may be lonely. All those are valid, but they're trivial, inconsequential, really. The challenge tonight is to see ourselves as we really are, to see that our gossip is cruel, that our love may be lust, that our ambition may trod heavily on others, that our realism may be cynicism, that we have become so caught up in our professional reach for achievement that we have forgotten to achieve with our family, to achieve the important intimacies of life. Take with thee words. Only when we can say, for this sin which I have sinned against thee, and label it, and name it, and recognize it as our own, only then can we begin the long process which requires that we reshape our lives by taking ourselves in hand, that we discipline ourselves, that we are stricter with ourselves than we have ever been before. We do not play what some call the Yom Kippur game, making resolutions that we will break tomorrow night. Here we sit, surrounded in beauty with the aura of holiness, and we feel within us the upsurge of resolution. Yes, we will be nicer to others. Yes, we will bridle our tongue in the family quarrels. How long will it be? Super dessert tomorrow night before we have slipped back to the older ways? And how long will it take us on Tuesday before we speak bitterly, before we find ourselves caught up in the routines which are mean, coarse, vulgar? Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. Take with thee words and return unto the Lord and say unto him, forgive all iniquity and accept all that is good. I've read these verses many times. I've been moved by them on many an occasion. And yet with it all, with all their challenge, with all their confidence, their promise, I find them a bit too neat, too simple, to enclose and circumscribe that rich variety of feelings which I know to be present in my own soul and in yours on a night such as this. That's why I like to look through the entire book of Hosea, to find there the shadings, the suggestions of meaning, the depths which we require in a way to complete the picture, the real picture about real human beings, which Hosea seeks to draw for us. Yom Kippur, repentance, bespeaks a confident image of man. We do not bathe in confession in order to bathe in shame. We do not flagellate ourselves today in order to feel the exquisite pain of abnegation, of self-denial. Not at all. We confess in order to commit ourselves to a higher way of life. Yom Kippur insists on human capacity and human potential. The day is white, bright, and yet I find it constantly in my own soul grayed over. I find Yom Kippur etched and underlined in the tragic. Somehow it says to me not only it can be, but equally it might have been. For not only is there this Yom Kippur and its command, its voice of potential, but there was the last Yom Kippur and all that I promised myself then. Yes, I was honest then. I went through the day with prayer and contrition. I etched out the lines of my life as best I could. I bethought myself of those areas in which I would improve and discipline myself. And so did we all. And then I found myself caught up again in life. And I found that many of these resolutions evaporated, disappeared. It was almost as if they had never been. Yom Kippur is a tribute to lost opportunity, quite as much as a statement of opportunity that is yet open before us. Yom Kippur offers us a new chance But how many chances have we lost? What price must we pay for these lost opportunities? O Ephraim, Hosea once said, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For thy goodness is as the morning mist and as the morning dew, which so quickly evaporates away. We chart a new way of life. We make bold plans. We fail to act on these plans. We say, it will be different. But it really isn't so different. It's very much as it has always been. Our goodness is as the morning dew, which appears for an instant, 10 minutes, and then is evaporated away. Inconstancy is the cardinal vice we all suffer from on such days as Yom Kippur, or in the silence of the night, or whenever it is that we try to take ourselves in hand, shake ourselves a bit, put ourselves back into shape, the way we really, really want to be. And this is tragic, because as Hosea suggests again and again, there's an iron equation to life. He who sows the wind shall reap the whirlwind. Kamal alav yashivlo. According to a man's deed, so shall it be done unto him. Yes, we can start again, but we're a year older. There's that much less opportunity. There's that much less we have done with our lives. There's that many more whom we have hurt. Lost opportunity. There's a price to pay. Hosea was a burdened man. He sought to shake his people, Israel, awake. They had sinned, they had worshipped false gods, they had followed the warlords, they had the princes, nobility had been contemptuous of the poor. It was a class and unjust society, and he preached to them to change their ways. The time is late, he said. And it was later than even he knew. For within his own lifetime, his kingdom Israel fell and was destroyed, only to reappear never again. Hosea was a burdened man, and we must be similarly burdened. This day, how many more days? This year, how many more years do we really have before we run out of time? Before our energy ebbs and the ultimate eternal darkness sets in. Kamal alav yashivlo, according to a man's deed, so shall it be done unto him. How much time have we wasted? How much time remains? Can we afford not to muster the will, not to take this day and use it fully, wisely, to change our ways? Really, basically, to change. But you know, we really don't want to. We're very smug, most of us, most of the time. We're rather self-satisfied. There's something appealing about dipping our toes in contrition and in confession for an hour or two once a year at Yom Kippur. It's rather nice to dream again the dreams we had in childhood. It's encouraging, really, to think that there might be a chance to exchange our business for civic enterprise, to exchange our life which centers around the home. Now the home has less demands on us for something where we were doing good for more. It's encouraging. We look to the future. We feel healthy and to a certain degree purged. But what have we really done? The cardinal sin of Yom Kippur from which we all suffer is a sin of hypocrisy. Ephraim lies unto me. My people surround me with deceit. We lie to ourselves about our purpose in being here. We're not really sinners. How many times we argue with the writers of the prayer book about that harsh word, sin. We haven't sinned. You know, we have, all of us, often. We are masters of deceit, all of us. We use language to put our coarseness, our crassness, our worst acts into bold relief, to turn them from dross into silver. The Arabs turn murder and sabotage into a holy war. The Russians turn the suppression of Czechoslovakia into the first stage of a new moment of freedom. Americans seeking to preserve their freedom, their privilege, consecrate their actions under the term law and order. We can recognize it when others do it, but we're guilty as well. We talk of realism, of experience, and we mean really animal cunning. We consecrate our lust by calling it a sexual revolution. We call the need to teach our children the way that they should go by claiming the responsibility of raising them in that way. We consecrate naked authority. Every act fills our lives, is somehow twisted by us, improved on, woven into a service, something that is ethically proper, ethically good. This is the way of man. Our ego makes us do it. And it's that ego that we have to somehow break down and break through this night, this day. So that we see ourselves clearly, as we are, not as we think ourselves to be, as God sees us, not as we see ourselves in the morning, in the mirror. Good and fine, respected. Yes, we are, all that. But these are quite ordinary standards. And they're made by people who are afraid to throw the first stone, lest the stone be thrown against them. How much more could the best of us have been? That's the measure of Yom Kippur. Not to take the ordinary, the mundane, the crass, and consecrate it, but to take life and consecrate one's whole life to that which is truly good. Don't call cowardice prudence. Don't call a love of excitement the fulfillment of one's life. Don't consecrate your ignorance as enthusiasm. See life, see yourself, your attitudes and your attributes for what they are, as I must see myself, as all Jews must see themselves before God this night. Return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. Take with thee words and return unto the Lord and say unto him, forgive all iniquity and accept that which is good. All of these bold teachings of Hosea, which are woven into the very fabric of Yom Kippur, will have meaning only if we give meaning to them this day. We turn. Be aware. Be honest. Hosea thundered against those who were in suspense about returning unto God. Ami talumim libi. My people are in suspense about returning unto me. Are we in suspense? The modern idiom is hung up. Are we in suspense about being serious or about taking this simply as another hour of traditional spiritual exercise? Can any of us say honestly, it's the other fellow they're talking about in the prayer book, it's the other fellow whose biography is etched into the confession, not me. All right. I can certainly improve. Everybody can. Everybody's human. But how much really do I have to do to put my life back in order? There's the challenge. To give this day and its message a chance. There's the one hope. That we will not end as did those people in ancient Israel. Tragically. But God will see our struggle to discipline ourselves. To will ourselves to a better life. And that he will, as Hosea said, heal our backslidings and love us freely. There is opportunity. There is a dim ray of hope. But like it or not, the hour is late and getting later. And like it or not, the challenge is spoken to us individually, directly, tonight. Shuva Yisrael Adonai Elohecha Ki Hashalta Bavonecha. Return then unto O Israel unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast stumbled in thine iniquity. Amen.